So we turn now to the scripture reading from the prophet Isaiah, who says these words, beginning in the first verse of chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Kathy and I were just back at our seminary a few weeks ago for the alumni reunion and for Kathy to receive her alumna award. And we were eating in the cafeteria a few times where we, of course, ate countless times. And, you know, of course, whenever you go back to one of those places you've been, it brings back all kinds of memories. And I was remembering walking up with my lunch tray to a table of seniors, you know, the older folks there, the established people, and saying, can I sit here? And they said to me, oh, no, this seat is saved. Are you? Well, I think they were joking. But, you know, I did get the message that I wasn't welcome at that table. They were kidding, but that was the idea. You're not welcome at that table, and boy, what if you're not welcome at God's table either? So, God is my salvation. That's what Isaiah says. You will say, God is my salvation. What does that mean? That's one of those words in Scripture that's used countless times as a noun, as a verb, and in a lot of different ways. It's got a lot of weight to it, a lot attached. Am I saved? Are you saved? You know, the word save, it comes from the same root as to be delivered, to be rescued, to be healed, to be made whole. There's a lot of connotations that go with that word salvation and with that question, are you saved? The names Isaiah and Jesus come from that same root, to save. So what's that about? What is it about when we talk about salvation? When I was in junior high, they had one of those rock concerts at our school. I think our school is trying to be relevant. So they had a rock concert. And they had a rock and roll band in the gym. And I remember sitting in the bleachers and listening. And it was an awesome concert because the music was loud, which was pretty much all that I needed to know. Loud music, good. Quiet music, not so good. So it was really loud. So that was great. But at the end, their lead singer came out, and he gave actually a religious speech. And he told us that we were all destined for hell if we did not put our trust in Jesus, if we did not choose to be saved. I think about experiences like that now when I hear folks say, when I think to myself, well, oh boy, I don't, you know, they've taken religion out of the schools, and what a bad thing that is. And I think about that experience that I had in middle school, and I think that's why so many people are unwilling to have religion in the schools, because bad religion is worse than no religion. And that was bad religion. Well-meaning, as the cool, shaggy-haired, loud, really loud singer was, it wasn't good religion. It turned out fine for me. There in the bleachers, I prayed the prayer he asked us to pray. I confessed to terrible sins that I really could not identify. I asked Jesus to somehow forgive me. I asked Jesus to save me. And in that moment, and in the weeks to follow, I can honestly, truly attest that absolutely nothing happened. I felt no different at all. What was wrong with me? What was wrong with me? I had done what he said. I'd prayed the prayer. What was wrong with me? Why didn't I feel different? Well, fortunately, I didn't sort of descend into despair, nor did I decide, wow, this religion stuff, there must not be anything to it after all. Instead, I just decided that maybe that loud guy didn't know all the answers. Maybe there was more to it, this Christian faith, than he had led me to believe. And indeed, that is what I discovered. Well, what was wrong with it? What was wrong with what happened there? Well, beyond being sort of manipulative, captive audience, come to rock concert, and we're going to talk about other things. Beyond that, and beyond the really terrible assumption that is behind a lot of the conflict in religion, a lot of the religious wars and religious violence, the terrible, terrible, terrible assumption that because God came to me this way, you also need to experience God the same way I did. People within faiths, people between faiths make that mistake over and over again. It's one thing to say, God came to me this way in a meaningful way, to tell that story, to share that story for another's understanding, another's enlightenment. And quite a different thing to say, because I experienced God this way, you must as well. My way is the way. Terrible assumption. But beyond that, the faith, the salvation that the lead singer was offering was otherworldly. It was all about the next life. This life here is just a prologue. It's just a little forward in the great book of life. Everything that matters happens later in heaven. It's all about escaping this world for life after death. That's, you know, when Karl Marx said, religion is the opiate of the masses. He wasn't actually saying religion is foolish. He was saying religion as the opiate of the masses. Religion is used to get people to put all their marbles, all their trust, all their focus on the next life and not think about this one. To think about the reward they'll have in heaven and not worry about any justice, anything good in this life. But no, God is all about this life. Read the scriptures over and over. Is there a next life? Sure. But this life is not mere prologue to that. No, this life is meant to be lived. This life is meant to be enjoyed. This life is meant to be full of serving others. Like the Declaration of Forgiveness, we receive love by loving. We receive by giving. So no, it's not, our faith is not just an otherworldly, just can't wait to get to the next life. No, this life is a gift. It's a gift we're meant to use, to enjoy, and to learn about love, to learn about compassion. The second thing wrong with that speech was it was sort of like it's all about you. It's all about you, as though God's plan is sort of laid out there for all to see, and God's trying to save you and you and you. Not so sure about you. You choose. Very individualistic. Not very dynamic. When really, if you read the Bible from beginning to end, God's plan is, God's saving everything, everyone. God creates a universe in the beginning of the Bible, and at the end of the universe, if you read the very end, God recreates it. There's a new heaven, a new earth. Because all through the scriptures, God is about redeeming everyone. What does Jesus say? For God so loved, not for God so loved you and you and you, maybe you, work on it. No, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That's what God is about. It's not this escape plan. No, God is redeeming all of creation. And God enlists you and me to be part of it. To be part of it. To use our lives as part of that redeeming, of that saving of the whole creation. It's amazing how self-centered our faith can be, really. You know, our faith in Jesus is meant to be so giving, and yet if we focus on ourselves and on our own salvation, what good are we? One of the great things about John Calvin, about the Presbyterian branch of the faith we're involved in, is God says, he says, okay, salvation, eternal life, is a gift of God. God gives it to you. You don't have to spend your whole life earning it. You don't have to spend your whole life wondering if you've got it. No, you've got it. Take it and go live your life. Enjoy this life and serve one another in gladness, because that's what it's all about. I remember another one of those seminary memories that comes back to you. We had a Dutch New Testament professor who had seen a lot in World War II, had suffered a lot. And I can't even remember what he said in class about this plan of God to redeem all of creation. And some students said, well, so are you then a universalist? Right? Universalists, you know, are people who believe that everybody goes to heaven. And Dr. Becker said, he didn't exactly answer the question, but this is what he said. He said, what is it with you seminarians that you are so concerned that someone might get to heaven before you do? I mean, at the very least, Christian people ought to hope everybody gets there, right? It would be unchristian not to hope that that's how it all works out. I digress. Anyway, be part of God's plan. It's not a self-centered, it's not all about me, it's all about everything. It's all about everything. Do I have an integral part of it? You bet. Does it matter to God that we personally turn to God in faith? Of course it does. Of course it does. But that's not all there is to this salvation that is God's gift. When you are saved, you are free from the fear of judgment or hell or wrath, however you want to put it. You are free from that, and you're free to live. To really live the life that God gives you. Isaiah said it. He said, I will trust in God and not be afraid. I will trust in God and not be afraid. Not be afraid to live. And the third problem with the speech that I heard in middle school was, what kind of God was that he was talking about? What kind of God is it who would set the world up in such a way that somehow you've got to jump through a series of hoops or else you're going to end up in eternal torment? He talked about a God of love, but it sounded so much more like a God of vindictiveness, a God waiting almost for me to do the wrong thing. Nothing could be further from the truth. The God that I came to know in Jesus, the God Jesus came to reveal, to tell us about and in his life to show us, is a God of love, a God of mystery, a God of compassion, but a God of grace. You know, grace is that faith word that we use sometimes, but we don't often always define it. Grace is the love of God that you get just for being you. That God loves you for who you are, not for what you do. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. And all you have to do is take it. All you have to do is take it and live the life that is God's gift to you. Bruce McLaren, in his book A Generous Orthodoxy, tells about a story about friends finding a snapping turtle crossing the road, a young snapping turtle, about 9 pounds. But this snapping turtle, in the middle of its shell, had a 1.5-inch bottle top. And apparently, this turtle was very small. Somehow it had gotten in the middle of this plastic bottle top and grew around it. So it looked sort of like a figure eight, this turtle. And so far the turtle was all right, but this 9-pound turtle had a long way to go. Snapping turtles can get to be 30-some pounds. And there's no way that the turtle would have survived. So McLaren says, my friends got a knife and they cut this bottle top. They cut the plastic away. And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing changed. This turtle was still figure eight shape. Nothing changed. And yet, everything had changed, because now this turtle was destined not for death, as he was with that constricted self there. Now that turtle could live, because now the turtle at last could grow. And McLaren says that's what Jesus does in his dying and rising. He snaps the plastic. So, no, we may look the same, and yet we are no longer bound by sin, by self-centeredness, by greed, by loveless power, by lust, by envy, by prejudice, by injustice, by ignorance, pride, all those things. Still there, yes, the effects of them, yes, still there, and yet now we can move beyond them. And salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation is a process. Salvation is not a moment. Salvation is a journey. It's a journey. It's the whole journey of life, really. God was already saving my soul in those bleachers back in junior high. God had started that long before. My baptism proclaimed that. Later today, we're going to be baptizing Henry and Lucy, two of our adorable kids. And in their baptism, we'll be proclaiming that years ago, God has been at work in their lives already, saving them, redeeming them, restoring them. Just as God is at work restoring and redeeming our world. It's so much more than getting to heaven when you die. It's about who we are and who we choose to be right now. Right now. Living the life God has given us, enjoying the goodness of it all, and taking those opportunities to serve one another. And in the serving, find out what love really is all about. When you see your life as both a gift and as a mission, then you are really being saved. And there's no fear in it. There's no fear. Only trust and strength. Later in those verses, Isaiah says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isn't that a great image? With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Living a life of faith means you can do that. That you know who you are and to whom you belong, and you can drop your bucket into those deep, deep wells of joy, of hope, of peace, of grace, and drink deeply, and so live the life that God has given you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And let's worship God now with our gifts and with song.